So the first thing I want to mention is this article, Halachic Aspects of Family Planning, by Rav Herschel Schefter.
It's interesting, because I know some of them, but
yeah, it's definitely an interesting piece, but there's one major gap here in the middle, which I find confusing, and it just seems to me that there was something almost left out. The main question about birth control is putting off the mitzvah of period virivia. Can you postpone it, or is the mitzvah immediate? And you cannot lose any single opportunity to fulfill it.
But I said it might also depend on why you're taking it. I know someone's taken it because she has cancer and she can't forget.
Okay. But in a general sense, this mitzvah is not like lulav, where you have a certain specific time that you have to fulfill the mitzvah. The Torah doesn't specify any time for the mitzvah period of arrival.
I don't want to start.
And therefore, it's a common situation today that confronts us all about perhaps postponing the mitzvah of period virivia for whatever reason, schooling, financial reasons, maybe they want to cement the marriage together, make sure that there's shalom bayis.
Oh, are we supposed to get the English packets also?
No, I just want to make one comment here on this English packet that you have, and that is that when the author of this article, Rav Schechter Shlita, tries to address the question of whether or not there's an immediate mitzvah period of review that's incumbent upon us now without tolerating any postponement. First, he stretches his arm out to a sugya at the beginning of Pesachim that we did called Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs, and then he stretches his arm out to a Maram Shik about what's called Chayshinon LeMisa. What does that mean? Does the halacha consider that a person might die? So let's say, for example, a person's makabel on himself b'neder to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, and the halacha requires that he bring it immediately, even though he doesn't violate Bal Tiacher for a while, but still, there's an immediate chiyuv midrabanan, because of chayshin l'misa, from one regel to the next and to the next, he might violate the iser of Bal Tiacher because he dies. So therefore, he has to bring the carbon immediately. That's called chayshin and lemisa. Lizman meruba, for a long period of time. So if you're going to postpone period virivia for a long period of time, then, says the Maram Shik, you would be in violation of the principle of chayshin and lemisa. He may die, and then he never fulfills the mitzvah period virivia. But keep in mind, that's only a derabbanan. So my question to you, because I see that there's a gap here, is that the only reason why? Is that the only source we can find? The only halachic principle that would tell me that period virivia is mechayev, it generates a chiv that has to be fulfilled immediately? The only one we can stretch our arm out to is Rizim Akdim LeMitzvahs, or Chayshin LeMisa, which is only a Drabbanan rule. From what you've seen until now, can you answer this question about the nature of period virivia in a little bit more of a fundamental way?
That it's really, it's hard to push.
Why can't you push it off?
Because if it's already a mitzvah, and in case something happens.
No, but that's only Drabbanan in case something happens. The Torah doesn't say in case something happens. The Torah says before you leave this world, you have to leave behind your children. So you've got, Baruch Hashem, another 70, 80 years to worry about this, right? Or on Be'er Yisra, you have another 100 years to worry. But I think that we here in this shiur room have discovered and emphasize a much more fundamental reason why period really has to be fulfilled now. And I would ask you to take out, if you have, the file I gave you, which is entitled Mitzvahs Period Virivia, Mai Mataros, it's called number 10. And there, the Torah is quoted. The Torah says in Hilchos Ishus that a man should not marry a ketana. Why can't a man marry a ketana?
Because he has an obligation to do it now.
Yeah, says the Torah, because Einar Uyo Lele. And the Chiddush here is,
he can't wait,
that even though she eventually will be capable of having children, he should marry her anyway. Because what's he doing?
Because
he's postponing, isn't he postponing?
Yeah, postponing. He has children now.
It's quite clear in the Torah Shulchan Aruch that you can't postpone. And Beit Yosef, on this tour, in Simon Chav Gimel raises the question, what's the source for the Torah? How does the Torah know that you can't marry a ketana? It's not a right thing to do. Says the Beit Yosef, it's based on a Gemara Nida, and Daf Yud Gimel on the base. The Gemara says that you should not marry a ketana. Why not? Says the Gemara, the Yom Rav Yossi, Ein Ben David Ba, Ad She Yichlu Kol HaNeshamo Shebaguf. Rabosai, what's being postponed here? What's at stake when you postpone the Mitzvah Piri Rivia?
Mashiach's
not coming. You're postponing the Geula.
It's all your fault.
And based on that, the Torah codifies this halacha that you're not allowed to marry a ketana. The Rambam also codifies this halacha in Hilchos Ishos, Perkes Vav Halacha Vav. Lo Yisa Adam Akara Uzkena V'Ilanis. Oh, that I understand, because he won't be able to fulfill the Mitzvah Piri Rivia at all. But uketana, why does the Rambam add ketana? She will be capable of having children, not now, LB, but later on. The answer is the mitzvah doesn't tolerate postponement. And the source for this Rambam is the one in Nida that we mentioned before, because Ein Ben David Ba.
How do you define postponement? Like, is it, if it's a matter of months?
Again, if you're talking from the perspective of Michael of Chayshinu and Misa, then you distinguish between Zman Katzar and Zman Aruch, and you have to get into the nitty gritties of your question, a month, 2 months, a half a year, a year.
Well, yeah,
but now we're saying something totally different. We're saying that the mitzvah is immediate. Not because of Chayshinu and Misa, not because we're afraid you're going to drop dead, but because the Mashiach is on the
verge.
On the perch? It's cool.
On the verge.
Okay, it's on the verge. That's what's on the, the stakes are very high over here as far as pre-review is concerned. I don't know why the author of this article doesn't quote this. And I'll tell you the truth, if you'll tell me, well, maybe Ein Ben David Ba is not really the underlying reason for the Mitzvah Piri Verivya. We should not identify the Mitzvah Piri Verivya with postponing the Mashiach or bringing the Mashiach, etc., etc. That's all philosophical and hashkafic. Well, then I'll quote to you the Baal HaFla, who was one of the great Gedolim about 2.5 centuries ago, who authored a sefer called the Nesivos L'Shabbos, which is on page 3 of the same file that we mentioned. And he writes, and I quote, "The Ikar Tam Pir Rivya Hu Sheyichlu Neshamo Shebaguf." The main reason that underlies the rationale behind the mitzvah is Sheyichlu Neshamo Shebaguf. God set aside X amount of neshamos. This is all part of a divine plan. And the redemption is dependent upon the bringing down into this world all the neshamos that are up there in the guf. So therefore the mitzvah of Piri Verivya could not possibly tolerate postponement. It's therefore an immediate mitzvah, an obligation that the first possible opportunity, no postponement is allowed. Now, if you ask me, but wait a minute, I have already a son and a daughter. Now you want to discuss the issue of postponement under the question of what? It's no longer Piri Verivya now. I fulfilled my obligation, Piri Verivya. What obligation do I have now?
Sure.
Well, maybe Mashiach, or maybe Erev Al Tanach Yodecha. You see, even Mashiach means that Mashiach has to be understood within the context of Piri Verivya. Please. And what's Piri Verivya? Zohar Nekeva? We pass like Beisil Kibriyasa Shalom. So even bringing the Neshama Shebaguf, I don't have to bring, it's not a single, it's not, this mitzvah is not incumbent on one single, am I the only one on the face of the earth who has to bring the Mashiach? I have to do my share. What's my contribution? Zohar Nekeva, that's the mitzvah period for Rivya. Beyond that, I have another chiyuv. What's called, who remembers? This is Rabbi Yoshua and Yevam Samafiz. He quotes a pasuk in Mishle, you remember?
Yes.
Yeah. No, La'erev al tanach yodecha. La'erev al tanach yodecha. Says the Mishle, La'erev al tanach yodecha is not an immediate chiyuv. Somewhere during the time of your life, you'll have to bring more children into the world.
Wasn't there one that
now we could postpone it? Yeah, which method of birth control you want to use? You like the pill? You like the diaphragm? Whatever you like. You take your choice. We'll put them all on the table here. We'll sell them darting in those machines. What do they call those things? And we're going to encourage now. I don't know if you're up on the latest news. 15-year-old. I don't even want to go into it. But there is a possibility of, under certain circumstances, postponing La Erev al Tanach Yedech, because you have fulfilled the mitzvah peri v'rivya. But when it comes to someone who doesn't have, has not obtained the mitzvah peri v'rivya, he doesn't have a boy and a girl, you're going to tell me that the only reason he can't postpone it is because Chayshina and Lemisa Midrabanan? What about these sukkahs here about not marrying a katana because you're postponing the mitzvah? What about the famous principle of Rabbi Yossi Rav Asi that Ein Ben David Ba, which according to the Baal HaFla at least, is the Ikar mitzvah, the main time for Peri Veruv. And Rabosai, I'll tell you the truth, it doesn't surprise me that when we involve ourselves in the midst of Peri Verivya, we are bringing about God's will in this world and bringing about the Mashiach. And if you have the pages that I gave out today, which is number 13, you will see something so beautiful here in the Meiri, which is on page 3. The Meiri says, what's the nature of the mitzvah peri v'rivya? And why is the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos Samach Gimel Amud Beis come down so hard on someone who is not involved in peri v'rivya, calling him a shofech damim? Could you imagine? That's a pretty... We're not talking about a bittul essay. We're talking about a shvichas damim. This is a positive violation of a very severe isur. Why? Because he's being monea. Monea means he's preventing. Who's he preventing? He's preventing the tachlis and the shlemus of the divine purpose in this world. And the Gemara calls it ki'ilu memait es hadmus. Says the Meiri. What does it mean? Ki'ilu memait es hadmus romes. It's the third line down from the top of page 3. Romes l'mashomar b'tzelem elkim bara osor atzalomar b'seichel. God gives man intelligence, and you have the power to bring back another human being into this world. The asid, and that intelligent being that you could bring into the world, in the future, lehidomos le'elyonim. What is it? How would you translate those two words in the Meiri? This poetry. The Meiri is a poet. Lehidomos le'elyonim. Anyone? What does lehidomos mean?
Oh, it's like similar, like you're in the...
Correct. To imitate, to become similar to elyonim. Who are the elyonim? The angels up in heaven. Im yavol etachlis lemusa. So when you bring a child into the world, what potential does that child have?
Elokim.
It could be, right, it could be a demus elokim, it could be similar to the elyonim, it could bring the entire tachlis and the perfection of the world. And there he goes ahead, and he says, I'm not interested. Thanks, but no thanks. He doesn't involve himself, dedicate himself to the mitzvah peri v'rivya. You see, Rabosai, one thing really clearly from the Meiri. The mitzvah is not just having children. The mitzvah is not just a biological process. That, of course, it is, but it's way beyond that. It's part of a divine process of bringing this world into it, to its tachlis, what we call in philosophy teleological purpose of creation, that God wants this creation to reach its fruition, its redemption, in the process of lehidomos elyonim, that man should become similar to Almighty God, to the angels in heaven, to the spiritual beings. And therefore, says the Meiri, understand Ben Azai. What was motivating Ben Azai to push off the mitzvah peri v'rivya? The same purpose. In order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah satorah, to be Mekayim Talmud Torah. The whole mitzvah of peri v'rivya, says the Meiri, should be seen and defined in the context of mitzvahs, of Talmud Torah, of reaching the tachlis and the shlemus of this creation. Put that together, my friends, with Rav Asi's principle of yikolu neshama shemaguf, to bring Ben David, and you see that peri v'rivya now in this context takes on a whole new meaning. And therefore all the statements of the Gemara, which you'll see on page 1, which are taken from the Gemara in Yevamos Samach Gimel Amud Beis, they all revolve around this underlying principle, this new understanding of the nature and the framework for peri v'rivya as presented here by the Meiri. We're talking about nothing small, nothing limited. We should not be superficial and think that peri v'rivya is biological and that's it. Bringing the children into the world, it's much deeper and more profound. And every single statement in this Gemara which is an agadah to Gemara, has to be understood. The Marsha and the Aruch HaNer are going to go into deep discussions here about what it means to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Piri V'Rivya. And of course, the Torah Shulchan Aruch, which is on your page 2, is going to, in a sense, conglomerate all these different statements. We have to figure out his order. The sequence is different than that of the Gemara. He deliberately changes the sequence, and we have to figure out why. But this all puts Piri V'Rivya into a whole other light. In fact, Rabosai, I begin to appreciate the Chachma Shlomo, that adopting a child might be some sort of substitute or quasi-kiyum of Piri V'Rivya. Because when you adopt a child and raise the child, even though you are not biologically fathering the child, you haven't brought the child into this world as a different parent, but nevertheless, what are you doing?
You're teaching the Torah.
Teaching the Torah. You bring him to mitzvahs. He's part of the tachlis of the brief. If the tachlis of Piri V'Rivya is to be seen within the context of the shleimus of God's creation, of bringing down its tzelem, then I would apply the principle of ha-nefesh asher osu b'chara. Who is that describing?
Avram.
Avram and Sarah. And oh, yeah. Which nefashos?
All
the converts and all those he was makariv. And Chazal say, based on asu b'chara, that it's as if Avram and Sarah created these beings. So you mold someone spiritual, even though you're not the biological father, you are the spiritual father. And I would therefore submit to you that a parent who fathers a child but doesn't raise the child is lakui, he's deficient in his mitzvah piri v'rivya. You're a great guy, father and child. Did the maisabia, and then there was a leda, and there was a kiyu, you know, all the different elements and conditions of piri v'rivya. But let the kid find someone else to raise him and to educate him. You're reducing Piri V'Rivya from what I'd call 100% of potential down to, I don't know if it's 50% or less. It's interesting. The Pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Toldos says, Eile Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Holiness Yitzchak. So all the Mepharshim are going to tell Rashi and every. Why is the repetition? On the ratio of the Pasuk it says, Eile Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. We already know that Yitzchak is the son of Avram. And then it says, Avram Holiness Yitzchak. I mean, just obviously. Says the Ibn Ezra, Holid means Gidel. He raised him. True, Eilat told us Yitzhak ben Avram. Biologically, Yitzhak is the son of Avram. No question about that. Forget about the late son of Yadar and all those. It wasn't Avivelet, it was. But what? That's only half the story. Less than half the story. Avram, Holid is Yitzhak. Yitzhak is a child of Avram. Not just biologically, he's fashioned by it. And that's why when we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hamalami, Torah Liyama Yisrael, that bracha should be understood in the context of Gracious Bar Lokim, Zachar Nekeva Bar Am. God creates the world physically, and God too is the Malami Torah. And by the Malami Torah, God fashions the child. He literally makes him into a tzura, a certain form. And that's all part of the process that's going to lead to the ge'ula. And so Piri V'Rivya has to be seen in a whole other light based on the Gemara and Yevamos that we want to see today with the Me'iri to boot. And therefore, as I say to you over and over again, the Chachma Shlomo is beginning to sound a little bit attractive over here. At the beginning, I thought it was like, you know, from the Arabian Nights. This is crazy. How could you say such a thing? A man raises someone else's child? Great! Mitzvah of tzedakah, mitzvah of chesed, it's a great mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But what's that to do with Piri V'Rivya? And by the way, the Shulchan Aruch opens up Ibn Ezra by telling us you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for two mitzvahs and only two mitzvahs. Which are they?
Piri V'Rivya
and Talmud Torah. Any coincidence there? Maybe it's not a coincidence. Both are forms of creation. You can create a child and father that child both biologically through Piri V'Rivya and by teaching the child Torah. Talmud Torah is a nefesh asher osu b'charon. When we imitate God, we do so in two ways. First of all, Zachar Nekeva Bar'am, and secondly, Hamalame Torah Liyama Yisrael. Both are the great acts of creation, giving, as it were, both physical life and spiritual life to the child. Who would come first, by the way, in a toss-up between the Rebbe and the father?
Father.
Rebbe.
The Rebbe comes first. You know why? So the Mishnah and the Sefer above Metzi. You'll think, well, I invented this. Right? Because I got vested interests. Right? Actually, I lose that interest when I talk to my own children. You follow what I mean? So it's like complicated. What? Right, no, but I mean every one of my children has his or her own Rebbe, so I lose out over here. And I have lost that on many occasions. But it's all based on a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. The Mishnah says, Avedas Aviv, Avedas Rabo, Avedas Rabo Kodemes, She Aviv Mevio Lechaye, Olam Azev, the Rabo Mevio Lechaye, Olam Abba. I'll tell you a secret, Moshe. And don't spread the word. If you have X amount of assets in your bank account, and you take off 10% for stock, and your father comes knocking on the door, and he says, son, I'm in very difficult financial straits, slowly. I need some stock in my. So I'll tell you what's wrong. What's wrong is that your father is first on the list, and he takes precedence over all the other I need. It's wrong. There's someone who comes before your father.
We're ready.
You're ready. Again, there are many details about what that means. Rebbe Mufak, he taught him Rav Toroso, he gave him the methodology, the understanding of how to grasp Torah. It might mean that he was never paid as a Rebbe because he was paid as a salaried worker. Maybe he loses his status as a Rebbe Mufak, etc. There are many different demons. But fundamentally, in abstract terms, the Rebbe trumps his own father. If there's no Rebbe who's taught you most of your Torah, then father is first. He's top on the list. Father, mother, they take... They're even ahead of children. But once you have a Rebbe, it's a whole different story. You see constantly, over and over again, how sensitive the halacha is to comparing a father on a biological level and a Rebbe on a creative spiritual level. As far as the Rebbe is concerned, the child is raw material. And I don't know if you've ever heard of a phrase which is used very often in the academies of philosophy called the tabula rasa. Have you ever heard of that phrase?
Blank slate.
Who?
Blank slate.
A blank slate, correct. That's how the halacha views raising a child. The child is like a blank slate. It's like Chomer B'yad HaYotzer. You have to create it. You have to carve it out. You're the parent, you're the Rebbe, and you have to raise the child. All this, I think, sheds a whole other light on the mitzvah period of Arivia. Because we begin to understand why the Nesivos L'Shabbos is saying that the Iker Tam of the mitzvah period of Arivia is to bring forward, to project forward, the process of redemption. What's this? We want Mashiach now. Great. But what does that have to do with the mitzvah? But the answer is, if you understand the nature of the mitzvah of period of Arivia, that it is absolutely central in the establishment and the attainment of the goal and the purpose of creation from a divine perspective, we are bringing about the divine will in this world, then we understand what it means. Again, you might ask me the question, and this is way beyond my comprehension, why does Hashem have an X number of neshamas? Why is it a definite, specific number? Can it be a little less, a little more? After all, Mashiach is around the corner, he wants to come. But we have to usher in his arrival. Why? Because there are a number of neshamas that haven't yet been brought down to this earth. Very strange. Can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu play with the strings here, this guitar? I mean, move it around a little bit.
You can't say the number. We're at the whole point of this whole reason why we're here then. If we know what to tell,
correct. I'm saying in the divine scheme, there's a definite number. Do you follow what I'm saying? No. You and I might say, God, come on, you know, let's be friends here. Let's work this out. You know, we've had a number of neshamas. It's over the years. You know, we got the number. Another one. The answer is, everyone is potentially an individual who, if he reaches his capacity, might bring the shlemus and the purpose of this creation into fruition. That's your chiyuv of period of review. If you don't get involved in that, then that soul that could have been brought down into this body, into this world, is a lost soul. It's a wasted soul. And therefore, what you're doing is ke'ilu shofet domen. It's a very severe avera. We don't view bittul period of review the way we would view any other mitzvah. If you take a lulav, and somebody doesn't want to take a lulav, he's mevatel an essay. But I wouldn't say he violated an avera. For a bittul essay, you have to give up 20% of your possessions, but not 100%. For an avera, you have to avoid 100%. I don't know where Piri Viriv fits in. I'm beginning to think that Piri Viriv as an avera, if you don't fulfill it, is much more severe. It's kilu shofek domin.
He's still
going to
come down one
month.
I mean, like, it's not like if one person doesn't have children, that's it, it's over, because that one soul is never going to...
Because that one soul might be the clincher.
It'll come down 10 years.
Take a look. I want to show you something. I want to show you something interesting. If you have the Gemara on page 1 of the handout, do you see where it says Daf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph in that first large paragraph, which is just a do you have this?
Samach Gimel Amud Bet.
Daf Samach Dalet.
Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. It's about 2/3 down in the first paragraph. You see it?
Oh yeah.
So this is a Braisa which begins literally the last few lines on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. It says there, Ubenucha Yomar Shuva Hashem Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. Now Rivavos Alfei Yisrael means 22,000. Malamed, this teaches us, She'en Ashkina Shora Alpachos Mishnei Alof Mushnei Rivavos Yisrael. So what's the magic number to bring the Shekhinah down? 22,000. Yisrael Shnei Alof Shirvos Chaser Echon. It was 21,999. This Joe Lo Asak Bepiri Veriv. You hear this, Ari? I mean, the Gemara is really addressing your question. Let somebody else bring that 22,000th child. Lo Nimta Zeh Gorim L'Shchina Shetestalik Yisrael. So this is a rhetorical question. Everybody has their contribution. This guy was meant to bring down that clincher. Again, you don't know. This reminds me so much of the Mishnayis in Avos about how you have to do tshuva now. Why do you have to do tshuva now? I'll do tshuva tomorrow. Ha ha, you might not last till tomorrow. You have to learn Torah now. Well, I'll learn Torah tomorrow. Postpone it. Take it easy. Let's be laid back. You know, we live, it's, the weather is nice. What's the rush? But the answer is, you might not live till tomorrow. And the Rambam, by the way, codifies all those Mishnayos in his magnum opus, in his Mishnah Torah. There's a certain immediacy when it comes to clinching the Geula. And here we need the Shekhinah down. And to bring the Shekhinah down, we might need just that one last child that you could bring into this world. That's an awesome response.
No pressure.
So you'll say, let somebody else do. Again, keep in mind that the Me'iri Ari allows Ben Azai and the like to postpone the mitzvah period of Aruvah. But that's radical. And the Me'iri can only justify that because of the broader context and purpose of period of Aruvah. So if you make a cheshbon that you're increasing the intensity of ruchnius, of spirituality, of mitzvahs, and kiyum mitzvah Torah in this world by pushing off period of Aruvah, that could be acceptable. That's Ben Azai. And the Gemara is not so thrilled about Ben Azai. If you recall, the Gemara is going to fight Ben Azai. Yesh no lidrosh, yesh no l'makayim, v'yesh no lidrosh v'yesh no l'makayim. Yeah, it's Ben Azai who brought to our attention the principle of ki'ilu. Where is it here? It should say ki'ilu shofek dom. Where is it here? There it is. If you count it from the top of this paragraph, it's about 7 lines there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ben Azai Omer. Ki ilu shofech domim umemayet admus. We'll have to see why the double language. That's the Orchlaner is interested in that. So the Gemara says, Omru lo ben Azai, yesh no adoresh v'no makayim, no makayim in no adoresh, atem no adoresh v'ein no makayim. So when Ben Azai is pushed against the wall by his own dictum, he introduces a whole new perspective here. And what is that? He says, Nafshi Choshka B'Torah, and look at the next world. Efshar Li Olam She Yiskayim Al Yidei Acherim. What perspective on the mitzvah period of Arivia is Ben Azai introducing?
That if you're shtugging and you don't want to stop your shtugging, then let someone else, then you don't hear put.
But I'm asking again, Arya, what perspective, what histaklut, what view of period of Arivia is Ben Azai introducing here?
that it, that period is in place of Tum HaTorah?
No. Again, Olam Yiskayim Al Yidei Acherim. What's when you introduce the word Acherim, you're changing the whole focal point, the whole perspective on the mitzvah period of Arivia. I'm looking at Ben Asa, I'm looking at him straight in the eyes, and I'm saying to him, why aren't you Osik in period of Arivia? And he's saying, let the others take care of it. What perspective now, what histaklut, I don't know a better word to use, is he introducing?
He holds that that's not what's going to bring the shift.
But again, what's the shift here, Rav Osa? Exactly, he's taking the chiyuv of the yachid, which is individual responsibility addressed to you. Here we have Ben Azai caught in the, you know, it's his back against the wall. Say, Ben Azai, come on, what's going on over here? And Ben Azai says, let's look at Piri Rivia in a broader perspective. I would say a divine perspective. And from a divine perspective, the mitzvah Piri Rivia combines and pressures the entire nation of Israel. It's not addressed to an individual like any other mitzvah is. Your netilas lulav is not related to my netilas lulav. Your chovas tefillah is not related to my chovas tefillah. I can't say, well, I'm not going to daven because you're going to daven. I'm not going to take the lulav because you're going to take the lulav. Others will do it for me. What do you mean others will do it for you? What about your chovas gavra? What chutzpah does Ben Azai have to say, well, acherim yisasku b'piri v'rivya? What's the language again? Yiskayim al yod al yidei acherim. The olam will be yiskayim al yidei acherim. That's true, but what about your contribution? So true, like you said before, Ariel, Michael, you all said the same thing. My contribution says Ben Azai is in the Torah field. But what about Piri V'Rivia? Piri V'Rivia should be viewed from a wider perspective. We're going to take others, and it's going to be a joint effort. Each individual will do what he wants.
National.
What he can, national perspective. Each yachid will contribute in his own way. And this, by the way, ties into the whole discussion today. I don't know if you're aware of it. In Israel, about Bachurei Yeshiva being drafted into the army. If we look at fighting a war as a Chovas Yachid, Reuven is obligated to fight a war, Shimon is obligated to fight a war, our enemies are surrounding us, guns are at our temples, I'm learning Torah. Doesn't cut the mustard. The answer is that milchama is not a chovas yachid. The obligation of going out to battle is not incumbent on the individual. It's not me, myself, and I standing in front of this mitzvah milchama. It's a communal obligation, a national obligation.
If you take the responsibility off individual people, then stuff will get.
Good. Now you're raising a good question. I mean, can everybody put themselves into Ben Azai and then we have nothing left for the world? That's an excellent question. At what point do we finally say, let's gather together the troops and let's decide who are the real Ben Azais? But just the basic breakthrough here of the Ben Azai Shita, which I think it has tremendous ripple effect throughout Halacha, that when there's a communal obligation, an effort on the part of the entire nation to achieve a certain mitzvah and a certain goal, the individual might be able to say, I have my contribution to make, let the others make that. Let Reuven carry the gun, and let Shimon carry the Gemara. And together, as an integrated whole, they bring about the divine purpose into fruition. You following me at all? I'm rambling and raving over here today. You know, I'm really, you know, I didn't have anything to drink, although it sounds like maybe I did. But what I am trying to show you is that there is a very important point here in Ben Azai's explanation. But before we go on, I don't want to budge from the spot. For those of you who are following me about the nature of the mitzvah period of Reuven, let's look at a couple of the statements that the Gemara makes about the significance of period of Reuven. Amar Rav Chana Bar Chanina, Kevet Shinosa Adam Isha Avonosa Mispakekim. In a word, what is that? What is Avonosa Mispakekim? I'm not asking you to translate it literally. I just said I'm not asking you for that. But just give me one concept that's directly related to Piri V'Rivya based on this, reflecting on this statement of Rav Kami. What do you say? I can't hear you.
Where are you right now?
I'm on the top of page one. Do you have it? Ariel did a great job. He photocopied, he even gave us a a staple in it.
Alright, good job.
Okay? Again, I don't know. I would have put the staple. Alright, it doesn't matter. As long as we got the staple, it doesn't matter. What do you see, Ari, here? I'm an also mispakekin, right? What does it mean? In a word, starts with a chaf, ends with a hey, has a peyresh in the middle. Kapara. It means that basically, fundamentally, the mitzvah period for Rivia is a machaper. And it makes so much sense. Because what greater kapara could there be than if I messed up in the past? I had avonos. But now, I'm dedicated to fulfill the will of God and His purpose, His with capital H in this world. And that is the greatest mechaper that you could think of.
How does Puri Rivia deal with that?
That's what I'm saying, that I'm in Puri Rivia, I'm a partner with Almighty God to bring about His purpose in this world.
And that brings,
which is the exact opposite of an Avera. When a person engages in a violation of Avera, he's preventing God from reaching His purpose. The Kvod Shamayim has been diminished. But I am now going to participate with God in bringing down a soul, teaching that soul and raising it, and now we have a fulfillment of God's will. What greater machaper could there be? The Gemara tells us a story here about how they asked a question to a person who got married, the Marava. Marava usually means in Eretz Yisrael. And they asked him, Motze or Motze? You know, it's a little bit chutzpahdik. I don't know if they actually tapped the guy in the back, you know, the day after, and they asked him, Motze or Motze? I remember somebody, they asked him that question, and he said, Matzah. I don't know, but Matzah's not on the list. But anyway, Matzah, that's it. Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. Are you in the Matzah category? You found a good woman? Or, Chas V'Shalom, you're in the other category of Motze. Motze Ani Yasa Isha Mar Mimoves. Right? Chas V'Shalom. So it's interesting that if you take a look at the Marsha here says, in that first paragraph of the Marsha, he says, Matzah, the word Matzah, Kari al Ha'isha, Matzah Isha Tova, Roy L'Samechba. What greater simcha could it be in life when you complete your existence and break through out of your loneliness with a woman who's good? She's dedicated, she's kind, she's sweet, she might be good looking also, but that doesn't seem to be the first criterion here. You know, some people think it's all about looks. That's not what it says here. But what's the opposite? Chas v'shalom motzi. It's very interesting the way the Marsha presents motzi. What's the mar mimavis over here? What's the isha ra? Right, what's the motzi? Motzi. What's motzi? Not motzi matzo. Again, motzi. He says, motzi means she's not a mitziah. I didn't find a great, you know, a great diamond in the street. And this reflects what Shlomo HaMelech says, that I found a woman who's Moshelis Olav. What does that mean?
She rules over me.
She rules over me. She controls my life. That's not a good thing. You know, in a marriage relationship, we want a give and take. We want both to contribute. He puts in his 2 cents, she hers. But if the woman is completely controlling, she's what we call domineering, that's not a good thing. And the Gemara says in Bav Metzia in Perakei Zuneshet, Kol Isha Shemoshelis Olav Tzoik V'Eina Oneh. He married a woman that puts him into such a low position that Hashem finds him at fault for entering into that marriage. I find it absolutely fascinating. The Gemara here in Yevamos integrates two different elements in its Agadata. Number one, the element of Piri Berivya. Number two, the element of marriage. Because as I begin this sugya with the statement of Rabbi Chama, followed by the Kinosiv Inish Issasa statement and Motza Motzi, and you ask me what's the subject of this Gemara, I would say it's marriage. But then I read on, Omar Avasi, Ein Ben David Bad Sheyichlu Kol Hashem Shebeguf. What's the subject of that statement of Avasi and all the statements that come thereafter? Period. Marriage and period for review are integrated into one whole. There's no such thing as Piri Rivia without marriage, and there's no such thing as marriage without Piri Rivia. It's all the same.
What about, I hate to bring caution from your artificial insemination.
Yeah?
But the husband doesn't have to, like, do anything He doesn't have to be involved whatsoever.
I would say in that case, Michael, he is very, very much involved. Why? He's going through a process which is very sensitive, very complicated. In fact, according to some poskim, he's going to have relations with his wife and the doctor's going to take his sperm. It's very complicated. It's a big mess. I would say that the sensitivity here, it's almost as if artificial insemination is even more complicated of a process procedure than regular classical perivirivity. So give the guy credit where credit is due. For a man to go through this whole excruciating and somewhat humiliating process. And by the way, people will know. These things become public knowledge somehow. You know, where the baby came and what happened and they were infertile and how they solved it. I would give him credit for that. You know, he brought about the birth of a child. The halacha sanctions that. And even those who are opposed, like Rav Breish, that's only in a case where there are other methods, other possibilities, or Chas V'Shalom, the seed is coming from a different man. But if it's a case of an infertile couple, a man and a woman are married, and the only way they could have children, according to the physician's recommendations, is through artificial insemination, I would give the guy all the credit in the world. If you could only make a bracha on perivirivity, I would tell him to make a bracha with a shepiano at the end. So let's not be harsh on a person who never has to go through with that. I have no clue what it's like.
I don't mean to be harsh.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't rob him of his mitzvah perivirivity just because he didn't do it the way you and I would do it. You know, the classical bia, and that's it. It was very hard for him. Hashem put a challenge in front of him. But yet he stood up and got up to the plate. And my heart goes out for anyone who has to go through that process. It's not easy. And by the way, it's also very expensive. But that's not what I had in mind. Now look, Vaita, Tanya, Rebbe Lezer Omer Kol Misha Eino Osik Bepir Verivya Ki Ilu Shofech Domin. Does anybody know who Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe was? Beit Shammai. And please make a mental note of that. We're going to come back to it. And then it's and he derives from the continuity of the parsha of V'atem Puravu in the parsha of Shofech Dama Adam B'Adam Dami Shofech. And again, as we said before, this upgrades the significance of perivirivity to the highest level. But Rabbi Yaakov comes along and he says Ki'ilu Memayit Hadmus. So we have two drushes here. Both are darshaning the smichus apsukim, but in the first case, that of Rabbi Eliezer, we're comparing the Eino Osik to the Shofrich Domin. In the second case, Rabbi Yaakov's frame of reference, we're comparing him to the Memayit Bidmus. And then Ben Azai comes along and he really throws the book at him and he says, Ki'u Shofrich Domin U Memayit Bidmus. It's a double reisa. And again, he repeats the same drush, which I don't know why he had to do. And then the Gemara pounces upon Rabbi Eliezer, as we mentioned earlier. Says the Aruch Haner, on the bottom of page 1, what's the repetition over here? Why do we need both these two approaches, these two drashos of Shofek Domim and Mamayit Hadmus, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yaakov, what's it all about? And he has a very profound insight, as he always does. He says that this is a machlokes. Because Rabbi Eliezer is focused on the goof. Shvichas Domim, murder, is a physical act that destroys a person's body. Because since he didn't allow the goof to be born, because he pulled away from perivirivya, it's as if he killed the goof. He has no nezik to the neshama. The neshama stays up there in the higher spheres. But Rabbi Yaakov says the exact opposite. There's no problem, no damage to the goof. The goof was never born. You can't damage something that never came into existence. But the dmus on the top of page 2, that is memayit, because the neshama, which is chelek eloka memal, has to come down to this world. God declares, Nasa Adam, it's Salvedu Kid Musainu. What's the dmus? God's will is that the neshama come down to this world. And what's going to happen in this world? Oh, yeah, I saw Ola Lamaila. What do you say?
For this Hashem.
Correct. Ola Lamaila Yisera. Look at the Aruch Haner's language. The neshama down in this goof is going to go up and up and up, higher and higher. Nidmi Yosel Liotra. Some people think, and this is true in some of the worlds of mysticism, of Kabbalah, that bringing the neshama down to this world is lowering the neshama? It's golus haneshama? We should cry for the neshama neva? In Kabbalah, the neshama is compared to the flame of a candle, which if you look carefully, the flame is always jumping up, which represents the fact that the neshama is always trying to get out of the goof, wants to go back to its source on high. But that's not the approach of Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, you're denying the neshama, you're robbing the neshama its fruit, its capacity to be olam b'mayel yaseira by coming down into this world. And what's this machlokus all about? Ah, says the Aruch HaNer so beautifully. Pligi beplukta de beit shamay beis hillel, erevin yud gimel amin peis. This was a long-standing machlokus, a controversy that stretched over years and years of time. Noach lo liodam shenivra, mishalo nivra, or ein noach liodam? What would be better? Did you ever think about this? Would man be in better shape if he had never been born? Is an unborn neshama better than a born neshama?
Depends.
Yes.
Depends what they do with the challenge of life.
Right.
But on a theoretical level, there was a machlokus about this for years and years between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai had a very pessimistic view of man. Man is not going to be able to live up to the challenge. Man is always faulty. Ain't tzadik baretz. Better to leave the neshama up there. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring it down. We've got to do the best we can. Some of Farshim say, based on the sheet of Beit Shammai, that when we wake up in the morning, we can't say Shasani Yisrael. We say Shalom Asani Goy. We can't say Shasani Ben Chorin. We say Shalom Asani Oven. We can't say Shasani Ish, we say Shalom Asani Ish. Why a negative? Because to say Shasani, that God you've created me, and thank Hashem for that, Noach lo liodam, Shalom nivra mishadivra. That's the opinion of Beit Shammai. It's almost like an Eov kind of opinion. You know, it's a very pessimistic opinion that belongs to that world. But who's a Talmud of Beit Shammai? Rabbi Eliezer, who mi Talmidei Beit Shammai? And therefore he accepted his Rebbe's view, a very harsh and bleak view about man. Tov shalom nivra. Lachem, le'inyan admus, ain't him a night klum. You can't say that by denying the child to come, the child's birth, to come into this world, you are in some way denying its dmus. Beit Shammai stacks the cards against you. Your neshama is going to go down, down, down. If anything, you destroy the goof.
What about
Rabbi Yaakov? What about Rabbi Yaakov? Rabbi Yaakov, smirlei ki Beis Hillel. And what does Beis Hillel say? That noach liodam shenivra mishalonivra. It's better to be born. The neshama is going to take an aliyah. It's going to go up to Madregos Elyonos. It's going to bring about the fulfillment of God's will in this world. That's a good thing. And therefore, you're being Mimaitis Hadmus until Ben Azai comes along. And he combines both. And he says, basically, as far as the goof is concerned, Rabbi Eliezer is correct. You've denied this goof its possibility to come into this world and achieve perfection. But as far as the Neshama is concerned, Rabbi Yaakov is right. Because we pass like Beis Hillel, and tov lo liodam l'shenivra mishalonim. And therefore, l'chein ka'omar ki'ilu shofek domim u'memai tadmus. Ben Azai sees this as a double whammy. It's a destruction to both the goof and the neshama. We see again that Piri V'Rivya should be viewed in a much broader framework. We're not just talking about biological birth, we're talking about spirituality. Piri V'Rivya is a double mitzvah. It's a mitzvah both as far as the goof is concerned and as far as the dmus is concerned. And he who denies the birth of a child and is not dedicated to Piri V'Rivya, he's destroying the goof, he's shofet damim, and at the same time, he's memaitis hadmus, he is destroying the neshama itself. For some strange reason, the Torah takes this gemara that we saw in Yevamos and mishkabalas it. He turns it upside down and inside out. Yisvarech shmo shal HaKadosh Baruch Shu chafetz b'tov b'riyosov sheyeda she'ein tov li'odam li'os lefad. What does the tour see as the takeoff point for this whole discussion? What is his introduction? What does he see has to be put right up front even before we get into questions about the mitzvah period of Arim?
Man should not be alone.
Lo tov Heyos ha'odom levado, esalo eza kinect. And here I'm tempted to mention the tour, the Ramban. The Ramban is Pirush al Torah says, Vayul basar echad, that a man seeks out a woman as a companion and he wants to spend all his time with her. He wants to share with her all his experiences, all his feelings. She becomes his best friend. Vayul basar echad, become like one. And according to one opinion in Ksubas, the original creation was that male and female were born together sharing one body. So we see that the Ezer Kenegdo idea, the Hayul Basar Echad, is so fundamental. This is the way God wanted man to be. Of course, you could always ask, well, why did God create man, according to that Madhyavar, without female? And the answer is man needs a certain experience of loneliness. Perhaps it engenders creativity. Perhaps it gives him the ability to fight against those social mores which are antithetical to his Hashkofa. But ultimately, man needs to be a companion. And then he goes on, he says, V'od, ki kavanas habriya v'odom, ki de lifros v'libros, God wants the world to be populated. And that cannot be done without the Ezer. So the Ezer is not just a psychological and spiritual companion, but the Ezer is also going to facilitate the ability of man, in this case male, to bring about period verivia, to settle this world, settle this earth. And that's the divine will. Man should have a double intention when he marries a woman. First of all, he's looking for the shlemus of his own life, of his own soul. His soul is incomplete. He craves companionship and completion through marriage. And number two, marriage is the stepping stone for period verivia. And now, all of a sudden, he goes into all the different statements that we saw in the Gemara here about the significance of period verivia. Call me she'eino osik period verivia kilu shokrik domin. Uki'ilu memayit hadmus. What impression do you get from the presentation of Turiyev when he combines all these statements of the Gemara together? Is he on the same page as the Aruch Lener? What was the Aruch Lener's perspective on this Gemara and all the statements there in the Mizrach Eliezer, the Mizrach Yaakov, Shofet Tomim, Amai Tatmus? Do they agree? You forgot? I'll review the whole thing for you, but it'll take another 20 minutes. It's a controversy, you know. It all depends on the syllabic. Shami, you remember the Aruch Lener?
Yeah.
That's not the impression you get from the tour. The tour is saying this and that and that and that.
He doesn't care about that.
He's not trying to separate them. The Aruch Lener would have a whole different presentation of these statements of the Gemara. And then he says, V'goreim shechina shetistalik v'yisrael. Now he swings all the way back to the beginning. And he says, what's the significance of marriage? Misha shari below isha, shari below tova, below bracha, below dira, below torah, below choma, below shom. In a sense, what you see here in the presentation of the tour is that pir verivya is the middle of the sandwich. The beginning of the sandwich, the first loaf of slice of bread is lo tova yosot levado, the companionship of marriage. The last statement, the other piece of slice of bread at the end of the sandwich, at the other side of the sandwich, that's all the benefits of marriage, whether it becomes
like shalom by this kind of things.
Right, bracha and tova, all the blessings of the divine being are bestowed upon a person in marriage. The Gemara tells the Kiddush that someone was coming to visit, I think it was Rav Kahana, and they spoke about him. He said, Gavarabba. And when he came, he saw he wasn't married. He didn't have a turban on his head. He said, you call that a Gavarabba? Send him away. I don't want to look at his face. Let him come back when he's married.
Wow.
Very harsh.
Yeah.
But mitzvah gedolah hi adniod. Marriage is a great mitzvah. Shein mochrin seifetel kidei luvo torah v'lisish. In the middle of the sandwich, we have, I guess you'd call it the jam or the flavors. Cream cheese, maybe a piece of meat in the middle of the sandwich, whatever you like. Or good old tuna fish. But it's the kishkes, and that is the mitzvah period verivia. Without which, or failing to comply, you are a shofet domim, you're memayit hadmus, you're garim shkina, shetistalik miyisrael. All these statements in the Gemara and Yevamos are brought down by the tour. The tour is not interested in philosophy. He's introducing the laws of marriage Even ha'ezer, but first you have to know what the significance of marriage and having children is all about. But what about ben asai? So if you remember, we saw the Me'iri on the top, page 3, tries to understand ben asai in a broader context. The Ritva quotes the Rambam that a person who's chashka nafsho b'Torah is like ben asai, and therefore he's potter from the mitzvah period of Arivia. This is fascinating. It reminds us of Moshe Rabbeinu. According to Beis Hillel, you can't derive anything from Moshe Rabbeinu's two sons, because Moshe Rabbeinu was shechina. He was in a, he was exempt from the mitzvah period of Arivia. Here we have another case of someone who's like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's nafsho chashka b'Torah. He too is potter from the mitzvah of period of Arivia.
So he goes against the Me'iri, right?
I'm not sure. Why do you think so?
Because the Me'iri is like, if it's Shabbat Bamim, if you don't have kids.
But keep in mind that the Me'iri said that if you're motivated in deciding not to have children, by the Tachlis Hashlemus, by the fact that you want to dedicate yourself to Kiyum HaTorah, to Precious Olam, to Talmud Torah, then you're doing your share in this whole process that we call period for review. Not in the biological sense, but in the overall spiritual, teleological sense, the purpose of God in creation. And that's what he says at the end of the paragraph, the Me'iri, V'hu shomer ben azay ma'aseh shenafshi chashka b'Torah. As we said before, there's a joint effort. There are soldiers on the front lines, and there are Talmidei Chachamim who are studying and dedicated to Torah study, if they're both sincere. And the goal is one and the same. And that's why you'll take a look at Isha. All these blessings, the one that catches my eye amongst this whole list of blessings, which the Torah formulates here.
Shalom, maybe?
Shalom for sure, because Shalom Bayis is the key to success in marriage. But what caught my eye was the word Choma. Let's go back again to the Torah. And we're on page 2, 3 lines before the end of that paragraph. He says, "Below dira, below Torah." Dira, I understand. Dira is a place where you invite guests to come to your dira.
Your apartment.
Dira is a place where you get rid of your chametz. Dira is a place where you put up mezuzahs. Dira is a place where you put up a zecher l'churban. There are so many dimensions to dira, to bayis, and they're all clinched by marriage. But choma? What's a choma?
It's a home.
Choma is a wall.
Is that like in a wall city, like in the wall?
Exactly. Beautiful. We're going to have it in this week's kriya. A choma. Choma is not the same as a mechitza. Or a kir, if you're familiar with that word. Kuf, yud, resh.
What is a choma?
Choma is a protective wall. A security fence, almost. In the old days, it was made out of Jerusalem stone. That's called a choma.
So the kotel be a choma? No.
Kotel would... Again, I'm not sure that the... I have to know the history of it. The kotel's about, I think, about 6 centuries old. How old is the kotel? In any event, the kotel may have been a protective wall, a security fence at some point. I don't know.
Yericho.
Number of walled cities. Tveria.
Yericho.
And the city was... The members of the city, the residents therein, felt a sense of security because they were surrounded by this choma. And that's really what the idea of a kala goes around her chosen 7 times, just like in Yericho, because it creates a choma. A woman protects her husband. And even if the husband goes out there and the protection seems to be invisible, it doesn't matter, it's there. Wherever he goes, there's a certain protection. I don't mean a protection from slings and arrows. You know, for that you need a good security system. You need the Shabak, and you need the, you know, those tough guys in the Israeli, Mishmar Ezrachi, all those guys that you don't want to mess with.
The Shishim Giborim, Shalom.
Right, Shishim Giborim. It's a woman protects her husband in a spiritual sense. She accompanies him, and she's in his mind, in the thought of his eye. Constantly, he sees his wife there, you know, giving him a musa shmutz, you know, putting him in line. Every person needs a mashgiach. Once you're married, you don't need a mashgiach, because your wife becomes the mashgiach. That's the idea of choma. And the Ritva goes on. He says, the entire category of Ben Azai is purely theoretical in our time. There ain't no Ben Azai. No one could say about himself, Nafshi Choshka B'Torah, I'm Torah in Torah, I have no ability to focus on anything else in life. And therefore it's impossible for someone to hide behind the shield of Ben Azai and say, I'm not getting married. Because Nafshi Choshka B'Torah.
This is the Torah.
We don't have it today. The Asur Li Adam Lishto Shum Dovish Yakreyu Kidei Lasik B'Torah. Okay, I don't know what to say about this. Apparently there was some sort of a liquid drug or some drug that could bring about at least a temporary
sterility.
Say it again?
Sterility.
Yes, temporary sterilities. And the Ritva prohibits it. But yet he does seem to be lenient about temporary sterility for the sake of Levatel Mimenu Tava Vehiru. I'm not sure what he means here. We're going to have to research this. Then he says, V'chein shamat v'shem rabbeinu ha-godol zal shem kiei mitzvahs piri v'riv yechoshka naf shabatar legami v'rotzol lishtos lechol domer shal ikur shal isbatel mitarosu shu mutar. Tahidir of Yeshua, mitzvah derabbanan. And he says that there were gedolim who actually did this. They swallowed some sort of drug, and with the intake of that drug into their body, they caused themselves sterility because they had already fulfilled the mitzvah period of Rivia. What about Rav Yeshua's blah erev al tanach yadecha? For the sake of Torah, there's no violation. Again, Rabbo said, we're not talking about castration. That's a lav d'oraisa. We're not talking about, you know, doing some physical surgery that will tie up his tubes. That's prohibited under all occasions. But he says to take a pill that will somehow protect or prevent his sperm from coming to fruition so that he could be dedicated to Torah study and he's already fulfilled the mitzvah period of Rivia, that he allows. And again, once again, this emphasizes the point that La Erev Al Tanach Yadecha doesn't mean now. It's not an immediate obligation like Piri Veriv. It does tolerate postponement because he has already avoided a group. And the Torah quotes the Rambam that applies the principle of Osik V'Mitzvah, part of the Mitzvah, to someone who's Osik V'Torah, but he adds the following proviso: V'hu Shelo Yeh Yitzro Mizgabarol. If the man is involved in a constant battle with his Yetzirah, he has a sexual impulse that's climbing and overcoming him, forget about dedicating himself to Torah study. And that's why Chazal really encouraged men to marry young. And I have to tell you, Rabosai, that some of the statements of Chazal about this are very strange to us. They sound like they're coming from a foreign world, an alien world. You know, encourage a guy to get married at the age of 13, 16, I mean, all these young ages.
Grandfather's man, that age.
How old?
15, 16.
Yes, yeah. And the Gemara says, if you get married young, you look at the Eitz Hara and you laugh at him. He doesn't have a grasp of it. Rabosa, I want to make one point. Don't think, well, I'm talking to you as single guys, you know, because you're, none of you are married, am I right?
Not yet.
Not yet. Art to art, we say. Maybe you'll send me an invitation. I mean, if it has a ticket, I'll come. Right, we'll get married in Israel. But one thing I want to tell you, it's not like the Yetzirah just, you know, all of a sudden evaporates. Even after marriage, there's Yetzirah in many different ways. But it's not the same. So if a person wants to postpone marriage, and that's true for the sake of secular studies, he's got to be very careful about that. Because if the Yetzirah is miscabarolov, then there's no heter for that. It's like, hey, you'll ask me what rabbi, I got to make a parnos and all this. I don't know. Racking brains and solve the problem. But there's no way that the halacha could tolerate a person postponing marriage when he's in a situation called Yitro Miskabo. So totally unacceptable. So I don't know how to, you know, again, how to apply this lemaisa. What am I telling everybody here to get married at the age of 15? I don't know. They might fire me, which would only be 2 weeks early, but it doesn't matter much.
Does it mean that the bachur he has like impulses, or that he's already like doing it, or he's already like?
I think impulses.
Does he mean with impulses?
He's in the battle. He's in the boxing ring. I couldn't care less whether he's going to win the bout or not. You know, it may take him 20 rounds until he defeats the enemy. It's irrelevant. And I'll tell you why. Because in order to dedicate yourself to Torah study, you have to have a clear mind. If you're constantly thinking about whatever, we won't go into details here, but you know what I mean, then what kind of lucidity, what kind of clear mind do you have to dedicate yourself to Torah study? So you've got to be really honest about this. And that's what I wanted you to see here in the pages that I gave out. Does everybody have this number 16? Binyan Lilmo Torah Velisa Isha. Ariel, this one you got right. Is this you? Or somebody else?
I didn't make
this up. Oh, this is not time.
Oh, the staple.
Perfect. No. Got the staple in the right place.
Okay,
yeah. No, it's okay. You just have to learn how to do it. Is there anyone else here who needs number 16? I have one extra copy. Going once, going twice.
I'm going to take that extra.
Okay, here you got it. It's the last copy I have. Of course, this one I need for myself. So this is a famous sugya in Kiddushin. Tana Rabbanan Lilmo Torah V'Lisa Isha Yilmo Torah V'Achkach Yisa Isha. Now that makes sense because the Mitzvah Talmud Torah comes first. And also, if you flip it around, then Torah Matehela, are we all meant to be total ignoramuses? I mean, the Gemara is assuming a certain conflict here that's irreconcilable between a life of Torah study and a life of marriage. We'll have to see why that, you know, why it's Yefshel Kaim Shneim, why you can't have both your cake and eat it too. But given the fact that there's a head-on conflict here, then the Mitzvah Talmud Torah is absolutely critical. I mean, we can't forego the Mitzvah Talmud Torah. Are we foregoing the Mitzvah of Lisa Isha? I don't think so. I think we're postponing it. How long are we going to postpone it? This I don't know. But the truth is, I'm in good company. Because if you take a look at the Rush on this sugya, which is on page 2, you will see that the Rush is also quite confused about this. The Rush says, Torah Avon, Elilmo, Torah V'Lisa Isha, Lome, Torah V'Akach, Nose Isha. And it's dropped down a little bit to where he starts and he says, Lo Yadana, that's like the last line and a half, the last line. It starts with the word Yilmod, but right in the middle you see Lo Yadana. Please underline those words, Lo Yadana. I don't know. Shall we talk and she's about to appear if you recall Yomov? That's a how long of a time? I'm sorry, you know what? I started in the middle of the sentence. We should start from Vikitzva Li Oso Limud Lo Yadana. Can you underline those words? The kitzvah li oso limud lo yadana. I don't know what the kitzvah is. What's the amount of time? What's the cap? You're giving me a year, you give me 10 years, how long are you giving me? Lo yadana. It can't be that you're going to postpone period for endlessly. That's only Ben Azai. And the Rush probably holds, like we saw earlier, that Ben Azai doesn't exist in our time, Tosfos Shita. So we're in good company here when we ask the question, how long can you dedicate yourself to Torah study and postpone the mitzvah of marriage? Some poskim say up until the age of 24. Beyond 24, it's tipech hatzmosa. His bones are just going to start creaking, falling apart. But getting back to the Gemara in Kiddushin on page 1, the imiyef shalo below isha yisa isha. If he can't manage the impulses and so forth are too profound, too intense, he's got to get married. Change the order around. But lechatchila, Torah comes first. Om Rabbi Yudom Shmuel, halacha, but however, that's not how we pass. Forget about this price. No se isha v'achkach yilmod Torah. The general rule is to get married first and then dedicate oneself to the study of Torah. Why is that so? Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't understand what's going on here. What's the statement of Shmuel? Rechayim v'tzavaro v'yasek v'torah? He's married. He has to eke out a living. He's grinding the mill. Backbreaking work. In the hot sun. 12 hours a day. And you can tell me he's Osik B'Torah? I'll never forget when I was about 16 years old, I came into a little mini market in Kfar Chabad, and I felt very guilty. The guy behind the counter was a Chabad chassid, and he was sitting and learning. I didn't even want to bother him. But he saw me come in, so he sold me whatever he sold me, and before he breathed, he was back into the Gemara. There are people who do that, but basically, Rechaim etzavara of Yasif HaTorah. And the Gemara says, v'lo pligi. We think that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are at loggerheads. They're arguing. And there's a fundamental, deep controversy. No, there's no machlokas at all. Halon v'holahu. And we'll finish the shiur in the next 2 minutes by quoting Rashi. Tosus is going to go ballistic on this Rashi. Rashi says, halon and holahu. There's those guys and there's us guys. Well, who are those guys and who are us guys? So, b'bnei Bavel, when it comes to the b'nei Bavel, then we take the principle of Shmuel. Even though Shmuel, oddly enough, is talking to b'nei Bavel who are leaving their homes on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Just like in our days, we leave the Bavel of today, America, and we go after high school to study in Eretz Yisrael. And what does Shmuel say to those people? What's Shmuel going to tell you after finishing high school before you get on a plane to Beit Meir? Did I get that right? No, how long did it take till you finished high school till you got on the plane to Beit Meir? You got 2 months? Okay, during those 2 months, you know what Shmuel tells you?
Get married.
Get married. You got 2 months to get married. Some of you may have started a little early. I don't know. We don't believe that, but Imri Nachosiyan. But whatever it is, that's what Shmuel says. Now, why should you get married first before you go on to OJ? Why become an MR before an OJ? So Rashi explains. They would go to Eretz Yisrael. Where did they leave their wives? Back in Ohio. And therefore, ain't Sarkhe Abayis Mutolov. Hey, listen, this is a good idea. You know, get married, you leave your wife behind, you go to Eretz Yisrael, stay away for a couple of years, and then hopefully she'll recognize you when you come back. They didn't have Skype in those days. And who's supporting your wife? I don't know. PhD, I guess.
Welfare.
What?
Welfare.
Welfare, okay. PhD is one notch better than welfare. What?
Parents.
Yeah, that's what I say. PhD. Pop has dope. Oh, you didn't even know that. I didn't even bother mentioning it.
It's
such an old joke. Ain't Tzarka Abayis Mutolam Olav, no say Isha. What does he gain by marrying a woman? Again, he marries a woman and then he takes a long boat to Israel. So like, what was this, a joke? The Havile below Hiru. Rashi says now his mind is clear. He's got a wife 6,000 miles away and he's not suffering from any impulses. So he goes off to Eretz Yisrael and there he learns Torah B'Tahara, you know, in great purity. But Lahu, but what about those guys in Eretz Yisrael? They learn at home. They learn in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore if they get married, they got to support their wives. So the best way of getting out of supporting your wife is to take a long boat ride for the sake of Talmud Torah. It's a great, great thing. And Tosfos is gonna absolutely rip this to shreds. I mean, you can't get married, leave your wife, and expect her to support herself. I mean, the whole thing makes no sense. Okay then, Rabosai, we'll stop here and continue preparing these pages for tomorrow. We'll have a whole discussion about what comes first, marriage or Talmud Torah. Let me return the Yalkut Yosef to you, and maybe we'll pick that up tomorrow as well. Believe me.